Welcome back, nerds, to the news. In today's episode, we have a problematic return from cancellation in the music section. We also have Mr. Beast at the center of what is very potentially the biggest news piece in the creator sphere, probably ever, over in the gaming and tech section. Plus, we have three new X-Men comics to talk about. Fantastic update on The Bear in the TV section. We have a less than fantastic update coming from Disney Lucasfilm in the movie section, as well as more fresh rumors, not rehashed rumors, but brand new fresh rumors about who Henry Cavill may or may not be in the MCU going forward. All of that and honestly a ton more in today's episode of The Nerdy News. So let's get into the music section, nerds, because we have quite a bit to cover. So in the music section this week, we have Shadows Fall giving us an update from the studio. We have a very unexpected return in the new music section, and then new music, kind of, from Slipknot and possibly Pantera. There's a lot to get to. Let's do this. So let's start things off with the follow-ups and corrections. Follow-ups this time has to do with Shadows Fall. Sounds like the Shadows Fall record that they've been apparently working on for some time, as they have announced when they first did those reunion shows, is going very, very well. And we might be getting that album very soon-ish. So Brian Fair was on the radio, WSOU 89.5 FM, and said that they have approximately 6 or 7 songs recorded already. And since they have no label behind them, they're not trying to rush it out. But with about half of a record done at this point, it's only safe to assume that we should be seeing new Shadows Fall music released sometime this year. And that is super exciting. That's all we have, though, in follow-ups and corrections. So let's get into the new music. Boy. This week in new music, starting things off, we have Sebastian Bach, who this record has been a long time coming. The name of the record is Child Within Me, but the name of the song that we're talking about, the single that he just released, is Everybody Bleeds. This kind of sounds like you would very much expect Sebastian Bach to sound in 2024. It's got elements of that hair stuff that he was definitely a big part of back in the 80s, and a little bit of the throwback stuff that he honestly does better than most. Like, the only band that's coming to mind right now is Hinder, but that's not the best example of the sound that I'm talking about. But still, like, definitely doing it better than a lot of people in the octane core kind of realm of things, which is good because he's a veteran of the genre and absolutely should be knocking it out of the park. And he is. The tone in this song, I am super jealous of the bass tone. I really, really am digging the mix here. The quality of the music itself kind of leaves something to be desired, but it's not exactly a subgenre that I generally dive into much anyway. It's just good to see Sebastian Bach making some solid tunes. So absolutely recommend for just about anybody just to listen. You don't got to spend money on it, but give it a listen because it's nice. Then let's talk about Vended. This is, once again, the band that features Sean Crahan and Corey Taylor's sons, which are Simon Crahan and Griffin Taylor, respectively. And every time I talk about them, I'm like, all right, so that's probably the last time we're going to react to new music from this band. And then they put out something new and it sounds so very different, or so like they've evolved so well. So the name of this song is The Far Side. Again, these kids just get a little bit better every time they release something. So it's always worth mentioning when they put out a new release. This track showing a little bit more of their influence of their fathers on their music, but also showing how they can go beyond that influence all at the same time. So I've said previously that at times Griffin sounds very, very much like his father as far as his singing goes. And that happens definitely in this song. There's a chorus. There's a big, very sing-songy chorus that is something that Corey would have done in a Slipknot track. But the verses, the more aggressive style that he's affecting with his voice is a little bit beyond, I feel like, where his father generally goes. I think instrumentally, it's a lot more on the extreme side of things, which is a kind of an interesting thing to say about Slipknot because they're rather extreme to begin with. But there's almost this like quasi-deathcore influence on this, and I'm totally digging it. So absolutely recommend Farside from Vended. Dead Icarus has released new music, and I feel like I can't help myself but to talk about anything that Alex Varkatsis puts out. The name of the track is Ad Infernum. We now know that the EP that he's going to be releasing under the Dead Icarus name is of the same title, Ad Infernum. And this feels more like the logical evolution of what the Atreyu sound, what I was expecting out of the Baptized record, what I was expecting out of anything they've really done since Alex left the band. This is kind of where that sound, I thought that sound was going to go. So it's really awesome to see Alex has the ability to recreate that Atreyu kind of feel. But if you've listened to the other singles off of this EP, he definitely is a little bit more on the heavy side, which also speaks more good to my ears, if you will. So yes, Dead Icarus, Ad Infernum, solid, solid track. This is very much on the metalcore side of his influential sound, and just a great, I really, really dig. Are you prepared to live through what you believe in? I think it's such an interesting take on a lyrical idea that we've heard so many times, and it just twists it just a little bit to make it feel super fresh. I dig it. I love it. I think Alex is lyrically at his peak right now. I don't know if he's gonna continue this, but I really hope he does. Check out Ad Infernum from Dead Icarus. And we talked about this in the live show last week, and so we had to do a proper listen to it. Burton C. Bell has finally released a single or some music from his upcoming solo release under his name, Burton C. Bell, BCB. And the name of this first track is Anti-Droid. And if there was any question as to whether or not Burton C. Bell could continue without Fear Factory, then this should definitely put that to bed very quickly. This is a super solid track. It is a bit more of a slow burn. It's a lot more on the industrial side of things with some ambient kind of elements to it as well. So you get a lot more feeling rather than the speed and the furiosity that we're used to from Fear Factory. There's a lot of anger in these lyrics. There's a lot of furiosity in the music. It's just tuned down a whole lot as far as like the general pace of the song, which feels great. It feels refreshing to see Burton go outside of that sound that we know him for so very well while still hearkening back to it in a certain way. So super solid industrial stuff. This is more goth industrial than metal industrial like we got from Fear Factory, and still very, very good stuff. So absolutely recommend Anti-Droid from Burton C. Bell. Let's get into a genre of music that we don't touch on as much here on the channel for many reasons, but not the least of which just because it's hard for me to get into modern stuff in the rap and hip hop side of music. We do reactions to them from time to time, but only very pointed reactions. We're talking specifically about Eminem's new track, Doomsday 2, which is through the lyrical... The only release I've seen for this, I haven't seen like a proper stream, digital release or anything like that. The only release I've seen for this is through Lyrical Lemonade's YouTube channel. Lyrical Lemonade does a lot of hip hop music videos. All the guys involved with Lyrical Lemonade specifically are on the video side, as far as I understand it, and they just do really quality video work. Though I would not be surprised to find out that there's also production work behind the Lyrical Lemonade stuff. It's just been a long time since we've heard from Eminem, an official release. Like, there's been a bunch of like underground releases and stuff like that, but I haven't seen anything official come from the Eminem camp for years at this point. So it's super refreshing to see that. It's awesome to see that he's still in fantastic form. Like, I still feel like anyone in that side of the music business really has reason to worship at the ground this dude walks on, just because he's that damn good. And so much so, like, this song is around 2 minutes long, and it just feels like there should have been more. My only complaint about this, because the video is really cool, a bunch of random cameos from hip hop acts and such, but just the only gripe I have about this is the fact that it is so short. Like, the Eminem that I grew up listening to did not do very short songs. He did pretty medium length to long songs, if you will. So very weird to see that, but still, it's good to see the GOAT is still at it. Go check out Doomsday 2 from Eminem. All right, let's get back over onto the deathcore side of things. We have a very unexpected track here for a number of reasons that we'll get into, but Immortal Disfigurement has released a new single, a new video for that single as well, called Showcase of Phlegm. It's glad to see that the drama behind the scenes with this record is subdued at least long enough to put out more music from it. We've gone into in some detail about what's going on. CJ McCreery has been canceled in the very recent past, and then also when he first put this band together, apparently is really hard to work with, so it was very much in question whether or not we were going to get the final few tracks on this record, and if it was going to be released as a record. And with the release of a new single, it would seem that that is at least going to happen. What happens beyond the release of the record still very much remains to be seen, but let's talk about the song. Showcase of Phlegm is more CJ McCreery being one of the greatest deathcore vocalists out there, ever even, because this is solid. And that's not to say that the rest of the band are slouching or relying on the fact that CJ is great at what he does. They are also killing it in this. I think the unfortunate name that they have gone with for their band aside, I think this is absolutely one of the best acts in the genre right now. So with that being said, I think if we do get this record released properly, I'm very much looking forward to the possibility that there will be a tour to support this record, because I just want to see them recreate this stuff live. And if you are into the deathcore, then you probably feel the same way. If you haven't heard it yet, go check out Showcase of Phlegm from Immortal Disfigurement. Next up on the list for new music, we have Zayo. A new track from Zayo, band I haven't heard from for some time. It's not to say they've been dormant, they just haven't really been on my radar. So Zayo's new track, Croatoan, is coming from a live record that they did during the final days of the pandemic, it would seem. It's called Live from the Church. This is definitely a different Zayo than I remember. I remember the more metalcore, kind of the on the extreme side of metalcore, but still very much a metalcore kind of Christian band. Probably still Christian, they're recording in a church, so I'm assuming that that's still very much part of the identity of the band, but they've very much left the metalcore stuff behind. This is almost like a post-hardcore kind of sound. Lots of atmospherics, lots of layers, lots of very different kind of more challenging things to listen to. This is not music for beginners on the heavy stuff. If you are into, like, say, Neurosis, the more heavy stuff that Neurosis did, then this is probably going to be a little bit more up your alley. If you're into the more experimental side of the heavy music, then again, more up your alley. If you just want to hear chugs and breakdowns, I would probably stay away from this Zayo release, but it's really cool to see a band from my past come back with something so interesting. And our final piece of new music this week comes from Avenged Sevenfold. We've talked about this new record from them a couple of times, and I think we finally found the track that's gonna get me to listen to the whole record. The name of the track is Cosmic. They just released the video for it, and this is what I was expecting. This is probably the ballad I would say for the record, because they do tend to do a ballad or two every record or so, and I would say this is very likely that, and this is much more coherent as far as song structure, as far as they're kind of toning down on the experimental things that they have done on previous outings from this record, previous singles. And so this, I think, if we can get a little bit more of this on the record, then I'm definitely going to be checking it out a little more seriously. This is what I expected Avenged Sevenfold to evolve into, was this kind of sound. Again, through the lens of this being the ballad for the record, this makes a lot of sense. So this did its job. I'm going to go check out this full record now for sure. So you should check out Cosmic from Avenged Sevenfold. Which then puts us into tours and festivals. We did have two tours announced, rather significant tours, at least in my world. So the first of which is He Is Legend has announced that they're going to be headed out on tour with support from Code 7, who I've never heard of, The Seafloor Cinema, also whom I've never heard of, and Johnny Booth, who is fantastic. Though the sad part about the Johnny Booth bit is they're only on like the last five dates of this tour. The tour starts May 3rd in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, runs through June 8th in Columbia, South Carolina, which I believe is close to where the boys in He Is Legend are from. One of the greatest just general kind of southern tinged metal acts around right now is He Is Legend. It's a little bit of that southern kind of metalcore stuff, and I just can't speak highly enough of them. If you have the opportunity to go see them live, absolutely take it, because it's a hell of a show. Tickets can be found in the link down below. Go check it out. Our other piece of touring news this week has to do with Hatebreed. They are celebrating 30 years as a band. 30th anniversary tour is going to be featuring Carcass, Harmsway, and Crypta. If you don't know who Crypta is, because the other two bands have been around for some time, but if you don't know who Crypta is, they are a new female-fronted kind of death metal band. Pretty great, honestly. I haven't heard anything bad from them, but I've only heard like two singles, so it's not to say it doesn't exist. But September 26th is when this kicks off in Portland, Maine. It runs through October 27th in Norfolk, Virginia. It's going basically everywhere, so check it out. Hatebreed is also one of those bands that you really have to catch live. That's all we have for touring and festivals. Let's talk about some regular-ass news now. Our first up is Journey. Not a band we talk about a whole lot, but when a Journey song comes on, you can't help but sing. And that's actually got something to do with the news piece we're talking about right now. Journey's song, Don't Stop Believin', has been certified 18 times platinum. I don't even know, I can't do the math for how many listens and downloads and purchases that is, but it's a lot. Forbes has recognized the track as the biggest song of all time. Just wanted to start things off with something super uplifting and great, because that is a song that I think literally everyone has heard probably a dozen times over the course of the last year. And you can't really get that tired. I mean, I know you can get tired of anything, but It's one of those songs that just kind of makes you feel great. So I'm super excited about that for the guys in Journey, inter-band issues aside. Our next piece comes from Pantera. This one is very divisive, I think. So Pantera is potentially going to be putting out a live record, according to Charlie Benante. Says that they have had conversations about taking this tour that they are on, that they have been on for some time now, and putting out some sort of live material from it. That I think is going to potentially, I mean, there's not going to be new music on there. It's going to be new material or new recordings of old music, I should say. So hopefully the fan base won't get too crazy about it, but I feel like it's a great, in my personal opinion, it's a great way to kind of document the fact that they're doing this in remembrance of the Abbott brothers. So I think I can get behind it as long as it's done tastefully, if you will. That's what we got on that one though. Let's talk next. Slipknot, actually more specifically, former Slipknot. Anders Colsefni, the original vocalist for the band Slipknot, who was the vocalist for their self-released output, Mate, Feed, Kill, Repeat, is re-recording Mate, Feed, Kill, Repeat. And actually, it should be available to stream as we are talking about it now. I believe it went up on like Monday or Tuesday of this week. So yes, you should be able to go find the newly recorded version of Mate, Feed, Kill, Repeat, presumably with the musicians he took on tour with him down in New Zealand, I believe is where they went. So yeah, just kind of awesome. He said in a press statement that he's doing this as a way to honor the memories of his fallen brothers in Slipknot, specifically Paul Gray, Joey Jordison, because those are the two that he worked with who have been in the band. There have been a number of others that have been fired and such, but those two have passed, and makes sense. It's really cool. I'm very intrigued. I have yet to listen to it because I've been working on getting the episode up this week, but I haven't listened to it yet. Very intrigued to go listen to it. They're hopefully, in the article linked down in the description, there is hopefully a link to the Spotify playlist that has all of the re-recorded songs on it. If not, I'll see what I can do to find one, though I'm not making any promises. That is what we have for regular ass news this week. So let's talk about music suggestion this week. We have, he is legend. We talked about him in the touring section. We're gonna talk about him for the suggestion. It's He Is Legend, White Bat. Not the most recent record they've put out. I haven't listened to Endless Hallway yet, but White Bat is return to these guys being fantastic. The Heavy Fruit record was good, but wasn't quite what I wanted out of a He Is Legend record. White Bat is absolutely back into the we are He Is Legend, we have the swagger, and we're going to lean into it for a whole damn record. And I mean, obviously the biggest standout track was White Bat that starts the record. There was also the, I think I wrote down the name of the, nope, I didn't write down the name of the other one that I really dug. Immortal, I think was the name of it, something like that. It's like the second to last or third to last track. Also a highly standout track, but really this whole record is just rocking. So go check out White Bat. That is your suggestion for music this week. Now let's talk about gaming and tech. This week in the gaming and tech section, we have a huge, huge announcement from the creator space and how it's crossing over into the mainstream. We actually have two of those. Plus, we have Apple and Google making strange bedfellows and a little bit more to talk about. So let's do that, shall we? All right, so starting things off, we're going to start up with some follow-ups and corrections. No corrections, just follow-ups. And that starts us with Metal Gear Solid Master Collection Volume 1. Konami is going to be releasing some patches soon. They don't have specific dates for us just yet, but soon for the Master Collection Volume 1. It's going to be graphical updates and correcting some of the more minor things that has had the fan base up in arms. Again, they don't specifically have dates, but as they are announced, we will be talking about them in this section specifically. So from there, we have Overwatch 2 is the next follow-up that we're talking about. Overwatch 2, yeah, controversy as well, specifically with the release of Heroes. It's been up to this point, you've had to grind, or pay amount of money that is uncomfortable for most gamers in order to get new heroes. You get the base ones for free, but you have to really, really work or pay money to get the new heroes. Well, as of season 10, that will no longer be the case. As of the launch of season 10, which does not have a launch date just yet, but as of that launch, all of the heroes going forward and up to now will be available for free. They're going to change their free-to-play model so that they make more money on the skins and things. So presumably, if you've already paid for these heroes, sucks to suck. But anyone who hasn't paid money for the heroes, good on ya. As that release date gets announced, we'll be following up there. But that's what we got for follow-ups and corrections. Let's talk about trailers. And this actually gets us into one of our first big pieces of news. We got a trailer for a game called Animal Well. It is a new Metroidvania style game that is going to be released on Steam, PlayStation 5. I didn't see if it was going to be released on the Xbox, but I'm pretty sure I did see that it was going to be on the Switch. I didn't put in the notes though, because I take amazing notes. But the release date for this is May 9th. Now, why is a run-of-the-mill, or presumably quality, it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun based on the trailer, which again you can find linked in the description. Why is a Metroidvania game one of our big stories? Because of the publisher. So the publisher is a company called Big Mode Studios, production company that was started by none other than Video Game Donkey. For those that don't know, Donkey is a creator here in the YouTube creator space. I'm sure he's got a Rumble page and so on and so forth, but started his career on YouTube, started playing video games on YouTube. So the fact that he is now crossing over into proper release of media that mainstream folk are going to be playing and not just people who are perpetually online, I think that's pretty freaking significant. We have a much more significant piece in just a minute, but this one kind of sets the tone. I hope nothing but the best for these guys. I'm very intrigued by the game. If I have to get it on the Switch, I have to get it on the Switch, but I'd rather get it on my Xbox. If that doesn't happen, it is what it is. A game, again, releasing May 9th. Go check out the trailer. That is the only trailer we have to talk about in gaming, so let's talk now about some regular-ass news. Starting things off, one of the biggest things up until the next piece between last week and this week was the signing into bill, the signing through Congress, I think it was, or the House, one of the two, for the TikTok ban. That is not exactly what it is. It is not a ban on TikTok directly. What it is a bill that is going to force the company of TikTok to divest from ByteDance. So ByteDance will be forced to sell its majority stock position with the company. I don't know specifically if it forces ByteDance to divest completely from the company, or if it's just divesting its controlling shares of the company. Either way, what they're trying to do is to get ByteDance's fingers out of the pie, as it were. They don't want ByteDance to have control over the company, because the company is so predominant in the States, in the West, that it's worrisome. And this has been a kind of an ongoing issue for years at this point, but it's worrisome how much control the Chinese government has in the company of ByteDance, and therefore in the application of TikTok, which, you know, can be utilized to do many things that can be interpreted as nefarious. So yeah, that went through the House, I believe. It was not Congress, it was the House. It still has to go through Congress, and the president has already said he's going to sign it into law. So again, once that happens, it will be 6 months. ByteDance will have 6 months to sell off their majority shares, and hopefully good things come of it. They have said that they are not going to do that. So if that happens after 6 months, then yes, it will be a ban on TikTok. There are many other news types that can get you into a better breakdown of that if you follow the link in the description. Hopefully that will kind of clear the air a little bit there. It's not a direct ban, it's a more of an indirect situation. All right, so that's out of the way. Let's get to the really, really big thing. Mr. Beast this week has announced, and it was announced by Amazon Prime, that they are going to be joining forces. Mr. Beast has signed a contract with Amazon Prime to do a game show on their platform, on their streaming platform. This game show, where I don't remember if I put the name of the game show. I did not. There is a name for it, but it's not in my notes because, again, I take amazing notes. But, all right, so this is the significance here. This is going to be a game show. It's going to be one of the biggest game shows in the history of television, honestly. They're trying to set records and stuff with this, which, you know, sure, as well they should, because spectacle gets a lot of eyes on things. The more significant side of this is the fact that Mr. Beast has been given basically carte blanche to do what he wants. The premise of the show is there's going to be 1,000 contestants that are all vying for $5 million in prizes. I don't know if that's going to be directly cash prizes or if it's going to be other kinds of prizes that equal up to $5 million. That has not been made explicit at this point, but a lot has not been made explicit. They're still kind of just painting in broad strokes, which is a good thing. So Mr. Beast was recently on the Colin and Samir podcast, which again, you can find linked in the description, where he's talking more about his mindset going into this, because a lot of weight is resting on his shoulders as far as how people perceive the creator space, how people perceive YouTubers and people who do content creation as a living. Because as it stands right now, most mainstream types, most normies, if you will, don't really see what we do here as any sort of legitimate job of any kind. It's just you're just having fun all day on YouTube. You're not really doing work. Well, I would say that, you know, having done plenty of quote unquote real work, I've worked with my hands for over 20 years. There is a point to be made, sure, that this is an easier job. 100%, not even gonna fight that. It's kind of why a lot of people want to do it, but it is still a valid job. This is still a valid direction to go, and that is kind of what he's showing the world. What Mr. Beast is showing the world right now is, I know how to entertain, and I can do it in a way that entertains the masses and not just the people who like me specifically. So this is huge. This is really awesome. If this fails, which he has said he will not allow, if this fails, it's just gonna set everything up for you're just a YouTuber. Oh, you're just a you're content creator. You don't have any. You need somebody in order to break into mainstream. You need somebody to give you more direction. You can't do it on your own, etc., etc., etc. If this does fail, though, I think all that does as far as the acceptance into the mainstream is it just furthers the timetable. If this does not fail, if this does as well as I'm hoping it does and a lot of other creators, specifically Mr. Beast, are hoping it does, then this incrementally expedites that process, mainstream acceptance. And I think that is huge. I honestly think the Video Game Donkey piece is a step in that direction, but the Mr. Beast piece is a leap in that direction, a giant rocket propelled leap in that direction. So yes, super excited about that. Mr. Beast, good luck to you. I know you will not disappoint the community because I think that's almost impossible at this point. From there, we do have other news to talk about. Next up, we have Apex Legends is in the news. We had the North American finals were happening over the weekend or at the end of last week, I believe. And they have had to be postponed. The reason for the postponement is because of hacking. Yay. So yeah, the postponement was during the finals, some of the top contenders got hacked. There is still not a whole lot is known as to exactly how this worked, but it was not the actual competitors who were incorporating the mods into their game. Mods were just placed into their game by the hackers. The hackers then took to the chat on the streams of the individual players to announce themselves. It was kind of pandemonium. The official Apex Legends account on X had to make it known that it was going to be postponed until they could get to the bottom of the issues. The issues, though, it seems, are related to the easy anti-cheats that are installed in a lot of software that you get through Steam. So it's supposed to help curtail cheating at a kernel level, which is like the base level of your operating system. So at the kernel level, this is supposed to curtail cheating. It's supposed to stop people from cheating. And that, if you can hack that, if you can get around that, then that basically gives you crazy amounts of control of anybody who is on the software that you're using. So there are a number of other games that use easy anti-cheat. The recommendation as it stands right now from the tech community is if you do not know, then stay away from your Steam games by and large. Specifically, I'll see if I can link to a specific list of everyone who uses easy anti-cheat, but specifically stay away from games that use easy anti-cheat. And then this kind of evolved a little bit because the creators of the Easy Anti-Cheat came out and said, this is not anything that we have been able to figure was directly as a result of our software. This is something else. And the something else, they're basically passing the buck down the line, and it's going to come back around to Apex Legends, and it's just going to keep cycling that way. So until we have a lot more information, just kind of stay away from your games because that's going to be just the safest thing to do right now. I as far as I know, there have been no issues on the console side of Apex Legends, so just stick to your console copy because it's free to play, so whatever. All right, so from there, we have some tech stuff to get out of the way. We have NVIDIA. They had a press release last Monday where CEO Jensen Huang revealed the next step in their AI chip sets. The next AI is the GH200. The next chip that they're releasing is the GH200. The GH200 is four times, specifically like in raw power, four times more powerful than the previous chipset that it is replacing, the H100. And if you put it into NVIDIA's new DGX GV100 system, it is reportedly 30 times more efficient. Sorry, it performs 30 times better. So exactly what that means kind of is in relation to AI. So not only is it 30 times more performative, but it is also 25 times less power consumptive. So it works harder for less power. So that's kind of the big stopgap right now, is if we continue the way that we're going, Elon Musk actually just made this comment in a recent interview, if we continue the way we're going, in 3 to 5 years, we won't have enough actual power on the grid to power all of the AI devices that are basically running all of the things that we recognize as AI powered today. So this chip being 25 times more power efficient is kind of incredible all over the board. Now, it has not yet been released as far as public getting its hands on it, any other companies getting their hands on it to test these numbers that NVIDIA is claiming. But when it does, it's going to be crazy. Oh, and just to kind of give you one more data-driven example. So GPT-4 currently, the model uses 1.7 trillion with a T, trillion parameters. The GH200 chip is capable of running an LLM like GPT-4 with 27 trillion with a T parameters. So that is incredibly more powerful. It's mind-boggling the amount of power that they're claiming this chip has. So we will definitely be keeping our eyes on that. Speaking of AI, we're moving over to our next piece, which is Apple versus Google. Apple and Google are getting into bed together, it would seem, or at least Apple is courting Google for such things. They want Google's AI, Gemini, to power the next iteration of the iOS. iOS 18 is that Apple is looking for somebody to do the, presumably because they're having issues with their own in-house AI, but kind of still remains to be seen. It is reported that they did approach OpenAI for something similar, couldn't come to an agreement, and now they're approaching Google, which just kind of so happens to be very, very key timing because of the recent issues with Gemini and image generation and whatnot. But yeah, so officially, the announcement is said to be coming in June at the WWDC event. As we get closer, we'll be keeping tabs. From there, we have one last piece of tech news, and that is Snapdragon. Qualcomm has announced that they're going to be powering phones and such with a less powerful Snapdragon processor. It's going to be the 8S Gen 3. It's a more affordable version of their current flagship 8 Gen 3 chip. It is going to be less powerful than the 8 Gen 3, but it is going to be an update on the previous less powerful version. And now S is, it's just, naming conventions with tech right now are just kind of going a little nuts. The Linus Tech Tips folks have gone into great detail as to just how ridiculous naming conventions are, specifically Intel and now Snapdragon, Qualcomm rather specifically. So yes, what this means is basically we're going to be seeing more powerful phones than previous generations on the budget side of things that aren't going to be as feature rich as the flagship phones, but that's kind of the way it goes. So really this is a non-news point and we're going to move on. From that, we have suggestions in gaming and tech. Our suggestion this week, Mortal Kombat 1, man. I am still having an incredible amount of fun with this. A lot of the issues that people have been complaining about have been worked out at this point. So if you haven't picked up Mortal Kombat 1, I believe it is currently on sale, at least a little bit. I believe it is currently on sale, at least 10, 20%, something like that. We did just have a free-to-play weekend, so you missed that. I think I talked about it in the live show last week. Just incredible fun with Mortal Kombat. Like, I'm to the point now, I haven't completed story mode, but I'm really not super motivated to complete story mode. I've seen how it ends, so I am a big lore nerd, but I already know all the story. I just want to play against people and get online, and that draw for me right now is incredibly powerful. So I just want to share the happiness with everybody and suggest Mortal Kombat 1. If you haven't picked it up and you're a fighting game fan, you should definitely do that. All right, now comic books and books. We have new X-Men, 3 new X-Men specifically to talk about, and a new Space Ghost book. That's kind of what we got. So let's jump into it. So we have a trailer technically this week. It is the announcement trailer for the three new X-Men books that are launching, two of which are more new than the first. So, well, what I mean by that is we have the three titles we have are, I know they're in here. We have Uncanny X-Men, we have Exceptional X-Men, and we have just straight up X-Men. So, I guess two are not as new, and then the Exceptional X-Men is newer, but they're just restarting these lines, and restarting is not accurate either. It's just, they've existed previously and now they exist again. It's just not a reboot. Anyway, so the creative teams on these three projects are as follows. We have Jed McKay and Ryan Stegman on the straight X-Men title. We have Gail Simone and David Marquez on the Uncanny X-Men title, which is a little questionable on that creative team. We also have Eve L. Ewing and Carmen Carnero on Exceptional X-Men. These were announced last week at South by Southwest, and they gave us little synopses blurbs, so I'll read those real quick. So for the X-Men book, we have Krakoa is no more, but the X-Men fight on from their new base in Alaska. The X-Men raise a flag of defiance, join Cyclops, Beast, Magneto, Psylocke, Kid Omega, Temper, formerly Oya, Magic, and Juggernaut as they assemble against new forces, battling for destiny and philosophy of the mutant species. Mutant business is their business. So that's the X-Men title, and then we have the Uncanny X-Men title is as follows. Outlaw heroes, once again, the X-Men embark on a new mission, making themselves at home in the Big Easy. The X-Men protect a world that hates and fears them. Join Rogue, Gambit, Nightcrawler, Jubilee, and Wolverine on explosive superhero adventures. Uncanny as ever, the X-Men are back and back to save the day, mutant style. So this one is where Wolverine has landed after the Krakoa situation. So that's gonna probably be huge. Also has Rogue in it, and she's been kind of the center of some controversy recently. So that'll be interesting how they deal with that on the comic book side of things. And then from there, we have the Exceptional X-Men. The synopsis here is as follows. Mutant kinds, two greatest teachers mold the next generation of X-Men. Kate Pryde has returned home to Chicago following the war with Orcus. Having stepped away from the world of mutantdom, she is nevertheless called back into action as she crosses paths with a trio of new young mutants, Bronze, Axo, and Melee, who clearly need training and guidance. Unfortunately for Kate, Emma Frost thinks so as well. So the artwork that they're presenting for these this promotional stuff seems to be kind of forgetting about all of the woke stuff from the very recent past. Because if you look at the artwork of specifically like the White Queen, again, you take a look at Rogue, you look at Psylocke, they're a little bit more, I mean, definitely not to the level of like, say, 90s comic risque, but they're a little bit more risque than they have been in recent years. So maybe we are getting back to a place of let's just make quality content that people want to read and not worry about how much virtue we have. Now, again, I did mention that Gail Simone being the writer on one of these projects kind of leaves a little bit to be desired, but it's at least a step in the right direction. Let's hope. We won't know until they launch. I did not apparently put the launch dates in my notes because amazing notes. I'm telling you guys, I take the best notes in the world. But as we get closer to the launch dates on these, we will be talking about them, at least for follow-up's sake. And then we have a piece of regular old news. This regular ass news says Space Ghost is returning, and not Space Ghost, Coast to Coast Space Ghost, but the serious actual superhero of Space Ghost. Dynamite Comics has secured the rights for the good old talk show host. These guys are going to be relaunching the series with David Propose and Jonathan Lau as the creative team. The new books look a bit edgier, obviously, than the Hanna-Barbera cartoon, because yes, but it is all of the returning characters, so that's pretty freaking awesome. No official day, but there are two links in the description if you want to go check out all of the information on that, direct from Dynamite, and then the launch trailer, I believe, is what that YouTube video is. Looks great. Looks freaking fantastic. As you can tell by the artwork that you're looking at on the screen right now, it's going to be a very different thing than what we got in the cartoon. But this is not the first time that we've seen it get that serious in comics. This has happened previously, and we did talk about it, but that was a few years ago. So yeah, go check out Space Ghost. It's going to be great. And that leaves only our suggestion for the week. And this one's a little bit controversial, mostly because of the art and not for the reasons you're probably thinking. But comic book suggestion for the week is Joker Year One. This picks up around about the time of right after Killing Joke, where Batman's still early on in his days of being Batman. So it's Batman Year One, happens roughly around the same time. And honestly, Chip Zdarsky and the artist, that's the controversy right now. But Chip Zdarsky is writing a freaking fantastic book. Like, this is as close to explaining who the Joker is as I feel comfortable getting and still keeping it interesting. If you were to get into any more actual possibilities of where he comes from, who he is as an individual, I feel like then you're going to get into territory that just nobody should go. And Chip Zdarsky walks that line beautifully in this. Like, I cannot speak highly enough of this book. Now, the artwork, Giuseppe, I'm not going to say his last name properly, and I'm sorry. Or was it the Andrea Sorrentino? One of the two of them is doing artwork that is potentially AI generated. So maybe the art isn't going to be exactly what you wanted, but the story, it is all about this story. Zdarsky has not really been one of my favorite writers previously, but this is good stuff. Go check out Joker Year One. It will be worth your time, if for no other reason than the story alone. That is your suggestion for comic books this week. So let's get into TV streaming this week. We have a very welcome update from The Bear. We also have a glimmer of hope for both Suicide Squad and The Fallout Show. All of that and quite a bit more, so let's get into this. All right, so follow-ups and corrections. We have Marvel, the Disney Plus Marvel shows are getting a follow-up that is a little disheartening. Wonder Man and Ironheart both apparently are in active production. They are both filming to at least some degree. I believe Ironheart is close to finished and Wonder Man just started, or that might be vice versa, I can't remember. But either way, they're both in active production. Flying in the face of rumors that we've heard previously that both of them had been canceled. Apparently neither of them have been canceled and we're going to be seeing them sometime soon. So there is that. Our next follow-up is American Horror Story Delicate. The second half of the Delicate season finally has a release date and is going to be April 3rd when we start getting episodes for that again. We also have a real quick update on The Bear. Before we even get to season 3, it has been greenlit for a season 4. So our hopes of at least 5 seasons of this show is that much closer to coming to fruition. Super excited for that. That is going to be fan-freaking-tastic. That is what we have for follow-ups and corrections, though. Let's talk about trailers this week. Our first trailer comes from that Suicide Squad anime series called Suicide Squad Isekai, which means other world, I'm pretty sure is what the translate is for Isekai. It still looks fantastic, and we still have no specific release date in North America. So I don't believe there's even a Japanese release date just yet, but still looks fantastic. It will be sometime this year. Just don't know when. Go watch this trailer to kind of satiate that a little bit and see what I'm talking about. This is the Suicide Squad I think we've felt like we wanted for some time. The last Suicide Squad movie, the animated movie that they released, just wasn't quite up to snuff. I think it was Attack on Arkham was the one I'm thinking of, and I just, it didn't really sit well with me. Whatever. Moving on. Next up, we got a trailer for Black Mirror Season 7. Season 7 is going to be the first season that has a continuation from a previous season. So the USS Callister, which was the first episode of Season 4, the Star Trek-y one, is getting a sequel in Season 7. We won't be able to watch this, though, until 2025. It will be on Netflix. But at least we have a little teaser to kind of give us an idea of what we're in for. I'm super stoked about it. Go check out the link in the description. Let's move on. From there, we got some more stuff on the X-Men 97. We got the previously on, so it kind of is the real quick 2-minute update of all of the large bullet points you're going to need to remember from the original animated series in order to be caught up to speed on the new series. And then there's the last like 15, 20 seconds gives you a little bit of what's coming up in the new series. Super interested still. I don't know how excited I am, but I'm very interested to see what they do with this show. It's very, very soon. I think it's actually this weekend, I think, is when they start airing episodes. So we'll probably have a lot to talk about over on the That Just Happened show, because this could get ugly, or it could be fantastic. I still am holding out hope that this could still be great. That's all I got, though. Let's talk next about Fallout. Fallout, we got two more trailers for the Fallout show. The final trailer is what they billed the first one as, and the second one is the first scene. It's not the first scene of the show. It's the first scene that they've released. It's not even a full scene. It's only 2 minutes of video from a scene that has a really interesting premise and setup and so on and so forth. So go watch both of them. April 11th is when this is coming out, and I think this is going to be better than the community is giving it credit for. Yes, they are getting some of the timeline a little mixed up, because the Brotherhood of Steel is not as prominent as it is should not be, I guess I should say, should not be as prominent as it is being presented in this show, according to the timeline they claim they're sticking to. So that, I think, is the only major, major issue, but it seems like they're going to be getting some fantastic stuff correct about just the general universe and how things interact in this universe. Specifically, I was looking at the Jeeves. I think that's what the name of the butler droid things. Like, those things, I love those. I love the dynamic of those characters in the game, and it looks like they've gotten it really, really well in this, as well as just general vault life versus out of vault life. All of these dynamics, I think they're hitting spot on, and I think that is what's going to determine whether or not this is a good show, not whether or not they're 100% accurate to the lore, though as close to accurate as possible, the better. So, from there, we have the Star Wars Acolyte trailer. I didn't want to dig this, but I kind of did. There's still a little bit of cringe involved here, and there's still way too much vagaries as to exactly what this is about, because right now, all we know is what the rumors tell us, and the rumors tell us it's going to be Sith focused, even though I don't know that we explicitly got anything Sith related in this trailer. At least upon my initial watch, I didn't catch it. I did see a couple of headlines talking about, was that a Sith that we saw? I'm not going to do that kind of breakdown of the trailer. You can go to like New Rockstars or something and do that. It's a trailer worth watching, if for no other reason than to see what's happening, because they're doing a decent job of creating intrigue. It's just a matter of whether or not they can follow through with that promise of intrigue. So very much going to be on the radar when it happens. The entire season, I didn't write it down. So yeah, that's Acolyte. It'll have the date of the season at the end of the trailer, because I didn't put it in my notes. And then we have Interview with the Vampire has released another clip for us. Season 2 is going to be launching on May 12th over on AMC and AMC Plus. So I am so intrigued by what is going to be happening in the season, because this is where all of the like really juicy stuff in the novel happens, is the second half of the novel, is where it gets, you know, the death of Claudia and Armand and all of those dynamics. And it looks like they're turning a lot of those dynamics on their head a little bit, much like they did in the first season, but in a much more deviating from the book kind of way, even though, again, they did that quite a bit in the first season. It just wasn't as dramatic of a deviation. It seems like this second season is going to be a very dramatic deviation. The fact that Armand is A, not white, but also not 16 years old is kind of an evidence of that fact. So, and it looks like Claudia's gonna live. So that's going to be a dramatic deviation. Or not. I mean, we are reading her journal post. Like, she's not there for us to be reading her journal in the current timeline sections. So maybe she does pass. Maybe she is taken by the vampire coven. Oof, I don't know. I'm super intrigued. I want to watch it. I want to see it happen. And May 12th is when that starts once again. All right, so that is everything we've got for episodic shows, TV, streaming, et cetera, except for our suggestion for TV this week is Invincible. Invincible, episode 5 of the current season, I think season 2 is where we're at. Episode 5 is back up, so we're back to weekly episodes for Invincible. Episode 5, it just keeps piling on this poor kid. And when you think he's gonna catch a break, just everything else breaks down. And So Kirkman is doing fantastic stuff. I realize it's... So now let's get into the movies section. This week in movies, Lucasfilm does not seem to be getting it through their thick skulls. We'll talk about that. We also have a trailer for The Crow that might signal good things to come, plus a horror movie franchise that is absolutely going to destroy your childhood. We have that and quite a bit more, so let's jump into it, starting with follow-ups and corrections. Our first follow-up has to do with the Scream franchise. Neve Campbell is set to return for the 7th installment of the movie. They apparently have increased her pay, though this does come after the Melissa Barria and Jenna Ortega situations, both around the whole Palestine-Israel situation. Both of those actresses have left the franchise. For one of them was fired and the other one supposedly quit in solidarity. So now they're like, hey, Neve, we've got some money we can give you. So seems a little, but if it makes for a good horror movie, then let's hope it makes for a good horror movie, right? From there, we also have Star Wars Rogue Squadron. Now, again, previously rumored to have been canceled, though Lucasfilm never explicitly said that this was not happening. Now we have Rogue Squadron is coming back, and Patty Jenkins says she's the one that's still in charge of that happening. So, once again, Lucasfilm just not understanding what the issues are, why they're not making money. Maybe this changes. There is still that sliver of possibility, but that sliver is rapidly diminishing. Our next follow-up has to do with the movie that we actually didn't talk about because it's just the existence of it should be offensive to everyone. We're going to talk about it real quick because it finally came out, and that is the American Society of Magical Negroes. That movie, the Black Harry Potter situation, that's kind of how they're billing it, but I don't think, I mean, I haven't watched it, so I don't know, but it doesn't seem like the trailers really led into that comparison, making, you know, apples to apples situation. But the opening weekend is $1.3 million. So Hollywood, learn. Just because you think you have more virtue than the people watching your movies doesn't mean the people watching your movies want to be preached to over and over and over. Just tell a story, tell a good story. If it checks off your social justice boxes and is still a good story, you will still make money. It's amazing how that works, but it has to be a good story that people want to hear. Because you think you have more virtue than the rest of us does not mean we care. Anyway, continuing on. Venom 3, we have the official announcement of the subtitle of this movie. We also know explicitly that this is going to be Tom Hardy's solo outing as Eddie Brock. But the subtitle of the movie is going to be The Last Dance. So the name of the movie is Venom The Last Dance. I heard somewhere that it was going to be a musical, but I'm pretty sure that was just somebody making a joke. But if it is, like, why? But also very intriguing that this is at least the last one on his contract. Tom Hardy's last contractually obliged movie, solo Eddie Brock, which is leaving the door open for him to stay on as Eddie Brock if those rumors that we talked about a couple weeks ago come true, and this sets up Eddie Brock joining the 616, the MCU. So very intriguing that that is explicitly the way it's been laid out. We'll keep tabs. From there, we have some trailers to talk about, and the first one is the big one, and that is The Crow has finally given us our first proper trailer. It looks better. I'm going to say a thing that's probably going to piss off some hardcore fans, but it looks better than those initial images they released would have had us think. That's not to say it looks like it's going to be good, and it absolutely, I'm going to lay this one out on the line right now. It is absolutely not going to be nearly as good as the original movie or as the original comic book, because it looks like they're borrowing less from the actual comic book and more from the writer's lived experience, which could still make for an interesting movie. But I don't know, there's just, it's the argument of, do you have to then put that into an existing IP, or can't you just create a new IP? So that question very much looms over this movie still. But this trailer shows us just a little bit of what could be awesome. And it's definitely not those tattoos or that haircut, but that's a different video for another time. Let's move to our next trailer. Next trailer is Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scar. It looks like one of my complaints for the first Rebel Moon movie was, you know, we got billed that we're going to get these lightsaber adjacent weapons. And then we really didn't. We kind of got one for a couple of seconds and that was about it. Well, this one, the action sequences, many appear to be separate points in the movie, and a lot of them incorporate those not really lightsaber weapons. So that's going to be pretty cool. But aside from that, it's still just kind of looks like Edgelord Star Wars, which isn't exactly a bad thing, but it's still not the greatest thing. It's going to be more of the same from Zack Snyder. The whole other situation with him these days as far as like the way he interprets source materials and stuff, but still interesting. Definitely the trailer will be worth a watch. Let me know what it does for you, if it changes your mind on the movie at all, or if it just kind of hypes you up even more. Just let's have that conversation down in the comments. From there, we have one other new trailer that just launched. I believe it was either last night or this morning, and that's the new Furiosa trailer. May 24th for Furiosa. This looks... I really like George Miller's stuff. Like, I think the Mad Max series is highly engaging, if for no other reason than it's pure popcorn fodder, and it's really easy to shut your brain off and be entertained by it. The Furiosa movie looks like he's trying to bridge the gap between like a thinking man's action movie and what he's done previously with the Mad Max movies. So, intrigued. I don't know if this trailer does much to make me more hype for the movie, though I will probably still end up seeing it because the girlfriend really likes the character of Furiosa, and happy wife, happy life, baby. So yeah, that's kind of where we're at with trailers. Let's move into some regular ass news, and starting things off there, we have Teen Titans are getting a live action movie in the DCU. The screenplay is going to be written by Millie Alcock, who is the screenwriter for the Supergirl Woman of Tomorrow movie that is also going to be in the live action DCU. And I don't know how I feel about this. Oh, I'm sorry. Anna Noguera is going to be the screenwriter, starring Millie Alcock. I can read. I really can. So Anna Noguera is going to be the writer, who is the writer for the Supergirl, World of Tomorrow, Woman of Tomorrow. So the question was posed online a number of times, actually, as to whether or not this was a necessary movie. All right, so let's get out of the way the fact that no movie is, strictly speaking, necessary. Entertainment is not 100% necessary to our existence as human beings. So that's kind of the one thing. But is it necessary because we recently got the Titans TV show live action, which was rather good. We also have had a number of animated iterations of the Titans. So is a new movie really necessary? Well, if you remember the fact that we are rebooting the entire DC entertainment universe, not the comics, but all of the live action and video oriented entertainment aspects of it, then yes, it is absolutely necessary, because like these are key players in a lot of major storylines in the DC universe, as far as like where the fans like to see things go. Like these guys are part of that. So to put them in a movie together to potentially set up multiple characters in a way that makes sense, it covers a lot of ground quickly, and if it's coherent, then it will cover it well as well. So yes, I absolutely believe that the Teen Titans live action movie is not uncalled for, and could be definitely beneficial to the DCU at large. From there, let's move over to another live-action adaptation that was just announced. Popeye! The original Popeye live-action movie with Robin Williams from 1982 holds a very special place in my heart, as I bump the microphone. I love that movie because I love Robin Williams, and I love that movie because I watched it probably a few dozen times between the ages of 2 and 10. But if you've watched it recently, it definitely deserves a little bit of an update, because it's not great. Robin Williams is brilliant, but it's not great. So I can see, this is another one of those characters that's like, not a whole lot is being done with this character in the pop culture conversation. There's not a lot of relevancy of Popeye today, just because for whatever reason, he doesn't exist in pop culture right now. So sure, let's do a live action. Let's update that. Let's make that happen. Let's see if we can revive this character, because it's a character from so many of our pasts that has a real fond memory. And potentially, like, give, whatever. Again, this is a thing that I can get behind, because it's not, he's not Batman, right? It doesn't really stick the same as if you started rebooting the original Batman stories from 80 years ago. So there's that. And then, boy, our final piece of news this week has to do with a horror movie franchise that is probably unexpected by most people. The Pooh-niverse is what they're calling it. So that is Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, the second one, the sequel. Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2 is about to come out. Apparently, they're retconning a whole lot of what happened in the first book or first movie. As the first movie, they're mythologizing it as having been a movie inside of a movie to a certain degree. So it's like it exists, but it's fiction inside of this new broader fiction that they're creating. So that kind of explains why the characters look different in the trailers and stuff for Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2. But we're talking about the bigger picture here now. Blood and Honey 2 is going to be setting the stage for a larger universe. We have had release information or information rather that is dealing with the fact that other movies are in production, but it wasn't explicitly connected until now. So those other movies, we have Bambi the Reckoning, Peter Pan Neverland Nightmare, Pinocchio Unstrung, and then there's going to be a final movie that's called Pooniverse Monsters Assemble. So all of the monsters from the adaptations of fairy tales, childhood fairy tales, fairy tales is not 100% accurate. Childhood stories, I guess. All of the monsters from these are going to come together like an Avengers-style monster connection in the Pooniverse Monsters Assemble. And that final movie is coming out in 2025. At least that's the goal right now. They don't have a specific date for it yet, but they are trying to get it out in 2025, which means we've got a lot of really strange horror movies to watch between now and then, and I'm here for it. That sounds like an incredible amount of fun. Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 2 comes out soon. I didn't put the release date on here because it's not exactly what we're talking about, but as the other release dates are announced, we will be talking about them in follow-ups and corrections. That's what we got, though, for regular-ass news. Let's talk about movie suggestion for the week. Movie suggestion, we're going for a comedy this week. Apparently a comedy that's been quite a little while in the making, and it's called Ricky Stenicki over on Amazon Prime, I'm pretty sure is where I watched this. It could have been Max, I don't remember. Either way, Ricky Stenicki, this is a Judd Apatow-style comedy. So it's an R-rated comedy that's a modern R-rated comedy, so it's very much slapsticky. John Cena just does a lot for me in movies. He just has really great comedic timing. He is very earnest when it comes to time to be serious. I think this dude carries a lot on his very, very broad shoulders, and he does it very, very well. You also got, I can't think of the kid's name. Where is it? Zac Efron. There we go. Hey, I put it in the notes. We also got Zac Efron in here, who does a fair bit of the lifting himself. I think without these two together, this movie wouldn't hit quite the same, but it is freaking hilarious. It is worth the hour and a half time it takes to watch it. And if you like the kind of potty humor of a Judd Apatow style comedy, then this is going to be right up your alley. Absolutely recommend Ricky Stenicki. Go check it out. Which leaves only the rumor mill this week. We have Moon Knight is not going to be returning, at least not according to rumors, and it's very specifically just not Oscar Isaac, because we're going to get into that. Plus, more speculation on who Henry Cavill is going to be playing in the MCU, as well as a James Bond rumor that is kind of a confirmation, but it's still a rumor, from something we talked about many months ago. So that and quite a bit more. Let's get into the rumor mill. Rumors this week, we have no Or do we? No, I think we do technically have a refutation, which was the Rogue Squadron situation. Also, not just Rogue Squadron, but Marvel, the Disney Marvel stuff. So Rogue Squadron is not canceled. Also, Wonder Man, Ironheart, not canceled. So that's refutations. We talked about those rumors a number of times as other sources have picked them up, and apparently Disney just decided to shoot them all down this week, so there's that. But we do have a new source on an old rumor, this one dealing with Ryan Gosling in the MCU. Gosling previously was connected to potentially playing Dr. Doom or Mr. Fantastic. We now know he's definitely not going to be Mr. Fantastic, but that does still leave Dr. Doom open. This is a new source. New source is adding to it. They're saying either Dr. Doom or the Ghost Rider. I think we previously have also talked about him being connected to the Ghost Rider project. So this is really just one source combining information. I don't think it makes it any more or less likely. So we're just going to continue on into the new rumors. We have some very interesting new rumors. First up, we have Moon Knight. Oscar Isaac is said to not be returning to play Mark Spector, but it's not because of scheduling. It's not because Moon Knight is going away per se. What it is because it's rumored that they're changing the Fist of Khonshu from Mark Spector to Blade. Okay. This just rings so hollow, and for so many reasons, not the least of which being Oscar Isaac is kind of a huge thing right now. But also, Blade, like, we have to reestablish who Blade is as far as how it relates to the MCU. So to say that, I think that's just way too much confusing information way too soon and way too fast. Though there is a, that's a pretty good source. So like, I don't like to make that, because the usually good sources like this are pretty accurate. It just, there is way too much going on here for this to be 100% or even halfway there. So we're going to drop that down. We're going to say about 40% likely that we're going to see Blade as the Fist of Khonshu. I think, will Oscar Isaac be returning as Mark Spector? That's very much still up in the air. But will they change the character of Moon Knight into Blade in some way? I think that's rather unlikely. From there, we have an Eternals 2 rumor to talk about. So previously, it was rumored that there was going to be a second Eternals movie in spite of the abysmal performance of the first one. But now, depending on which rumor monger you go to, it is being said either that the Eternals movie has been canceled, which, how can you cancel something that didn't exist to begin with? But, or the other option is they're evolving, they're mutating, if you will, the Eternals movie into the X-Men movie. So we will see Eternals in the first X-Men as a group movie, because that's what this has evolved into. I think that makes a lot more sense. I don't think they're going to, again, cancel something that didn't fully exist to begin with. I think that they're going to take established characters, however well established is very much up for debate, taking established characters in order to establish new characters. Technically, the X-Men are the more popular here in the equation, but as far as the MCU is concerned, the Eternals already exist, so we need these established, created characters to kind of give some sort of credibility to the X-Men. I don't think that's sound logic, but I think that's the logic they're going with. And again, great source. So 70% likely that the Eternals movie has morphed into the X-Men movie. From that, we're going with Henry Cavill, another Henry Cavill rumor. This one is going to be similar to one we talked about previously, but it is not the same. So previously we've talked about rumors that say Henry Cavill is going to be the MCU version of Wolverine moving forward past the Deadpool movie. And this rumor is kind of stepping that back just a little bit, because we know we're dealing with the TVA, we know we're dealing with the multiverse, we know we're dealing with different variants of these characters. So this rumor is saying that Henry Cavill is not going to be the Wolverine going forward, but in the Deadpool movie, he is going to be a Wolverine that we get, so a variant of Wolverine. There's plenty on both sides of this that say it could happen, it could not happen, not the least of which being, like, it's Henry Cavill, so he is kind of a busy guy, and that would lend it to be more, yeah, he's just going to do this one-off thing because it's kind of fan servicey. Or he's Henry Cavill and he brings a lot of people into the movie theaters, and Wolverine is another character that's going to bring a lot of people into the movie theaters. So why not bring those two together? Like, there's that as well. So, like, kind of based on both of those things, and honestly, there have been a number of outlets that have talked about this, three very major ones at this point. So we're going to say split the difference, go 50-50. It could go either way on this. I honestly personally think the more likely way is going to be that they're going to find a character that they can do a short movie series around. So do the traditional 5-movie contract where he gets the 3 solo movies and then he has 2 cameo appearances. That seems to make a bit more sense, but again, it could go either way. So from there we have James Bond. James Bond is our next big rumor. Aaron Taylor Johnson, who, you know, played Kick-Ass and was in the first big legendary films Godzilla movie. Aaron Taylor Johnson is reportedly about to sign the deal. This is from the rumor monger, about to sign the deal to become a 007. And yeah, I can see that because he's young enough. Like, he's similarly aged, I'm going to say, to where Daniel Craig was when Daniel Craig first signed on to play the character. He's also similarly built. He's in very good shape. There is a lot of, like, superficial reasons why. There's not a whole lot that says no. And this is also a rumor that previously we were talking about potential replacements for Daniel Craig. He was on that short list. So this is kind of a confirmation rumor of a rumor. So shouldn't go much over 50%. And we're not. We're going 60% likely that we will see Aaron Taylor Johnson in the role of James Bond, 007, going. I think that's actually really potentially exciting. From there, we have MetaQuest 3. There have been a number of leaks for the Meta Quest 3 over the course of the last week, and some of them I think are AI generated, and some of them I think are potentially actually leaks. We're gonna say the ones that are without the AR lenses on the outside are probably AI generated. The other ones that leaked out that are part of that marketing campaign that leaked out, and I'll see if I can find the pictures and put them up on screen, but there was a marketing campaign that supposedly leaked out from a Meta business meeting that does have some of the AR lenses on the outside of the goggles. That seems to be a little bit more likely, but it's very, very much suspect nonetheless, just because of the number of leaks. Maybe the ones without the cameras were like early iterations of the Quest 3, but this also kind of lines up with the fact that Meta was talking about trying to release something that was a little bit more budget friendly, so that stands to reason as well. Quest 3 Lite has been thrown around a little bit, so maybe one is the light version, one is the regular version. There's a lot going on here, but 55% likely, I think, that any of these rumors are true. I think the more likely are, again, the ones with the augmented reality cameras on the front. And then our final rumor for this episode is foldable phones. It's actually two rumors. The first of which being Samsung and their next Galaxy Z Fold phone is supposedly going to be in 2 flavors. We're going to have a budget consumer-friendly flavor and then the high-end version. The Z Fold 6, the budget version reportedly is going to be launching at $800, and then the high-end version is more likely to be quite a bit more expensive, but is going to have full functionality. Whereas the budget version won't have like the S Pen functionality and will have a much smaller battery and so on and so on and so forth. The flagship version will have a huge amount of battery, have full functionality, etc., etc. I think that's about 85% likely because they've talked about doing that previously, so the fact that this is rumored to be finally happening kind of goes in line with that. And then our other foldable phone rumor that we have is Apple is said to be joining the foldable phone stampede. I don't know what you would call it exactly, but 2026 is when they're supposedly going to be releasing their first foldable phone, a foldable smartphone. So it's the foldable screen effectively. And premium price tag obviously is going to be much more high than the Samsung phone because it's Apple. I honestly, I'm kind of surprised that this hasn't leaked out or been rumored sooner. So we're going to say about 90% likely that we will be seeing a foldable phone from Apple come 2026. That, nerds, is everything for the rumor mill. I was going to jump into some speculation, but I feel like there's nothing really to speculate on beyond. So yeah, we don't got any speculation this week, but we do have the end of the rumor mill. So thank you very much. Before I forget, we have housekeeping to get out of the way. There is, with this new format thing, I get a little confused and I apologize, but we do have some housekeeping. I have to take some time off. I have illness in the family. I need to go take care of my parents. So it's going to be a couple of weeks. We're going to be without a show. So the week of the 2nd, April 2nd, we will not be doing probably anything. I will be very surprised if we get much content posted in that week at all. The following week, the week of the 9th, I believe, is very much up in the air. There might be some content. I don't know if we're gonna get a regular show put up or if it's gonna be a live show or what have you. Really depends on a lot of things that are outside of my control. So stay tuned. I mean, keep your eyes posted for a live thing. I'll try my damnedest to put things up on the community tabs, but I got sick parents, man. So I gotta go take care of them. As far as that goes, we will be having at the very least a That Just Happened episode this week. I don't know if we're gonna get around to a shout out show just because I ran out of time filming today, but hopefully I will have more time to film sometime later this week. And we'll get a shout out show as well this week since that we didn't do it last week at all. So that's everything we got. Now let's get to the end of the episode. And also, it's the end of the episode, so what did I miss? What should we talk about in the next one? Let me know in the comments down low. If, though, you want to go deeper into the conversation, you want more nerd news, then click or tap the screens, boxes, whatever, that are coming up right here around my face right now. Assuming you're watching on the YouTubes, if you're just listening, or if you're watching on Rumble, that's probably not happening. But either way, appreciate your faces. Now, contribute, get the comments going, do all of the things. Don't forget, also, like, subscribe, do the things. And that brings us to the official sign-off. And that brings us to the official sign-off, which is, you know, we'll see you next time before we go. Always, always remember that if it's generally nerdy, it's probably here.